Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Lisa Guillo, welcome to the conversation today.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to be with you. You're joining us from the Chicago area. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And today we're going to be talking about Lisa's recent book, Find Your Clear Vision, A New Mindset to Create a Vibrant Personal and Professional Brand with Purpose. I love this topic. I think vision is always important. And I really like exploring how this connects with branding. Oftentimes we talk about consumer branding, we talk about organizational branding, employer branding, et cetera. We also need to focus on personal branding and make sure that we have clear understanding of what we're even trying to accomplish if we can hope to have a good branding strategy. So this is what we're going to unpack together today. As we get started, I wanted to share Lisa's bio with everybody. Lisa is a certified transformational life and leadership coach and branding expert. She helps her clients find the clear vision and bring it to life through her clear vision framework. Her clients include senior level executives of Fortune 500 entertainment and media companies, leaders in marketing and tech, and ambitious entrepreneurs. And I could say a whole lot more about your background, Lisa, but anything else you would like to highlight by way of your background or personal context before we dive on in?
I really appreciate what you said about bringing branding into leadership. I come from a graphic design and branding background. I had a brand studio for a long time. And I noticed when clients were about to launch something, whether it be a website, a book out into the world, launch their company, they got super wobbly and started to throw everything in the way. Like, well, you know what? I don't want to pay for that type of plugin. I don't want that type of paper. Like, maybe we should revisit this, and just started delaying the launch. I originally thought it was the design work, the branding. It wasn't. It was all mindset.
Oh.
And so after that point, I recognized, oh, it's not me. It's mindset. That's when I started into my personal and professional training as a transformational leadership coach. So that's where the blend of both design and creativity and mindset work really comes into play. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And the constant pushing back and delaying, it makes sense that that could be, you know, obviously sometimes there are legitimate delays, but you know, oftentimes we do get stuck and we get nervous and we get a little bit scared. And so the mindset of having clarity around what you're trying to accomplish and then having the courage to just put yourself out there. That's a hard thing to do, right? And I imagine that's largely, you know, what you're working with clients on is to feel confidence in what their vision is and help them work towards achieving it through their branding strategy. Let's talk a little bit about just the framing of this book. And I always, when I'm talking to authors, I like to learn more about just the process of the book even. And this kind of core question, why this book? Why now? There's lots of business books out there. There's a gazillion of them, right? And what is this, the niche you're trying to tap into, and why is this book important for the audience?
Yeah, I think you touched on it a bit, where sometimes there are opportunities to go ahead and launch or not. And a lot of my clients are in the marketing, design, advertising world. So they know how to do this. They know how to launch a product out into the world. But when you turn it around and make it about yourself, whether that's your personal branding, your thought leadership, your leadership brand, that's where we get wonky. That's where things go weird. And so that's all the mindset work. And once I recognized, oh, these folks know how to use the creative process as it relates to launching things out into the world, what if we took that creative process and then applied it to what I call your inner platform, which really revolves around inner trust, mindset, how to expand your energy so you can laser focus, and your clear vision. Because people with a clear vision become visionary, right? And that's when we can start to look to a leader, for example, and be like, oh, I see what they mean. I see where they're coming from. That's what I want to get on board with that. That's because that person has a clear vision. So how do we actually unpack and create that? Well, this book uses the creative process to do that.
Yeah, very cool. And tell us a little bit more about your thinking around the difference between thought leadership and personal branding and how that clear vision component really helps with that distinction.
Yes. So oftentimes they're kind of one and the same. People, like to call things one way or another, but personal branding, I really think, is an exchange of energy from me to you. It's how I show up in the world. And if other people are attracted to that energy and want to have a conversation and want to hire me, work with me, collaborate, boom, that can be a personal brand in and of itself. It's your reputation, your character. You can apply it online or offline too. Personal or professional branding, or what people are now calling leadership branding, same thing, but it is how it applies into your workplace and how you engage and interact with employees, with staff, clients, customers, etc. And then you take it into the thought leadership world, and these are leaders who have distinctive thoughts, creativity, a clear vision, and then they strategically amplify that out into the world. And that is to, in essence, I don't want to say boost or promote themselves, but it really, I like to think it really circles around the vision and the message that they want to share versus it being a selfish or, some type of way to just boost about yourself. I'm all about the vision and how that instead reflects out to the world and makes the difference.
Yeah, and this is something I struggle with, because I'm heavily engaged in social media platforms, particularly LinkedIn. I put out thought leadership pieces daily. In addition to things like this podcast, I'm publishing articles on a regular basis, putting out other content. And on the one hand, I feel like super self-conscious about it because I'm like me, 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 and it's not about me, and I know that, and I don't want it to be about me. And generally speaking, I'm a pretty introverted kind of guy. And so, I've always had this thought that, okay, I'm adding value. And so I shouldn't be shy about adding true, meaningful, authentic value to people, and they engage with it or they don't. But I'm always wrestling with that, like self-promotion discomfort versus value creation and content sharing that's going to help people and, growing an audience so that I can have a bigger reach. Any thoughts on like how to deal with that discomfort?
Yeah, I think so many people do. And there's a big difference between being a thought leader versus like a speaking leader, like or the loudest voice in the room. I think a lot of thought leaders are introverted. And a place for us to easily share is online or in an article or in ways like this. Like you and I, we just met, right? But here we are having a conversation that we're going to share out with the world. And I like to look at it instead of selling or self-promotion, it's sharing. It's the sharing of the idea. And if you want to peel back another layer there, it's really one of those elements of your inner platform, and that is inner trust, trusting yourself and trusting your decisions. And when you're coming from that high, like I call it your most vibrant self, your highest self, when you're being your best, that's when you need to make these decisions. That's when you need to press publish. And if you're having the self-doubt, just remember, oh, I'm publishing them because I've already made this decision. Right? We waste so much time second guessing ourselves or getting wishy-washy. And that's a beautiful way to waste time, money, and energy by
Right.
second guessing ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, and the truth is, like, there are times that I'll publish an article, and I'll hit that publish button, and I'm like nervous about it, but I feel good about it. And then a day later, I notice a typo, or I notice like there's an idea there that didn't quite hit the way I thought it would, or whatever. And so when you have those moments, it can make it all the harder the next time to actually click that publish button, because then you're that self-doubt, and you're just thinking, oh, it's not perfect. I need to make sure, like, sit on it longer, make sure that it's perfect. And not to say that you want to put garbage out there, or that you want to put stuff that's sloppy out there. Certainly not. You want to, be professional, and you want to polish your work, et cetera. But this whole kind of perfectionist kind of mindset that I think a lot of people have really can get in the way. And the truth is, if I hit publish on something, I can go back and fix it. Like if I find a problem, I can pull it down, I can fix it, I can put it back up. And it's not that big of a deal, really. And same thing with the podcast episodes. If I realize something later, I can pull it down, I can edit it a little bit more, put it back up. No big deal, really, in the grand scheme of things. Yet that concern around, how is this going to be received, can really paralyze people. And to a certain extent, I suppose that's healthy. You want to put your best foot forward, but I think a lot of people tend to get stuck, and they tend to sit on things way too long. Thoughts on that, or like experience with that?
The like first line on my back cover says, "You're stuck. You have been for a while." Right? I think you nailed it. It's like we get paralyzed. We start to doubt ourselves because in the past I made a spelling error or this and that. I call myself a recovering perfectionist, like to the nines. As a graphic designer, I was paid to be perfect, find the perfect color, the perfect tagline, place the perfect pixel in the perfect place, make sure every single button works. And that perfectionism just followed me all over into all areas of my life. Which is again a beautiful way to not launch, to continually polish all your work, to not share, and to basically go crazy in your own head. So again, I think as a mindset coach, I will actually ask my clients, like, what is the most cringeworthy thing you could imagine happening to you if you made a spelling error? Right? The world is not going to collapse. You are not going to die. There is no emergency, but we actually practice showing up imperfectly. And it can show up in 100 different ways. Like one client, not even related to thought leadership, but she actually is a thought leader. And we were working on her showing up on LinkedIn daily. But one of her greatest fears was going to a potluck. Because she did not know what other people put into their food. She wanted to control all of the ingredients that was going into her food. And so a potluck was like a nightmare to her. And so it was just a great metaphor. Well, then how does that show up when all these ingredients of all these people out there on LinkedIn are there to sabotage you? Oftentimes how you are in one area of your life shows up in other spaces. And I would just offer, notice how much time and energy and money we're wasting, kind of spiraling in what I call your paradox pattern, right? If your pattern is, I polish everything until it's perfect, which takes me an additional 3 hours,
Right.
cool, right? Like, if that's the choice you want to make, cool. But once you recognize it, then you're going to notice, oh, I'm doing that because I'm trying to be perfect.
Yeah. And I'm all about iteration too. And sometimes I think we're all building the plane while we fly it. And so there's always imperfections. There's always learning that's occurring. There's always adjustments or changes you're going to make. Like, I don't think there's almost anything that I put out there that if I revisit it a month later, that I'm not going to think, oh, that's, I would have changed this, or I would, like, that's just the way it is. But if you're consistent, you're able to iterate over time in rapid fashion, and you don't get that iteration if you're sitting on things for a long time. And the reality is, you're sitting on it because in part you're fearful of making mistakes or how it's going to be received. But once you get it perfect, the way you think it's perfect, guess what? There's still like people are still gonna poke holes in it at times, or they're, take issue with something or whatever, or you're still gonna realize, oh, there's a better way I could have said that. That's still gonna happen. It's always still gonna happen. So, not getting too stuck, I think, is really key, and just getting in a regular practice. Like I was talking with an artist recently, a year or so ago. He's a local painter. And he's prolific. Like he has his stuff everywhere, and he has some really pretty high profile things. But he's prolific. He just puts out so much. It's kind of like Monet and the water lily paintings, right? Like he's in the habit of painting daily, and he's very systematic about it. And he knows that a lot of times, what he produces isn't the greatest. But because he's in that habit and that pattern, and because he's not scared to share what he's created, those gems do emerge. And it's not every day, it's not even every week, but every so often there's something that's inspired, right? And there's something that is just
Exactly. Yes.
extra extraordinary, right? And I feel much the same way about my writing. I think all of what I do adds value, otherwise I wouldn't do it. But I admit, like, sometimes I think things are a little bit more pedestrian, other times I'm thinking, oh, that is a really, really great insight, great idea, something I'm really excited to share. But if I allowed myself to get out of the habit of being consistent, it's not like I would then only produce the really amazing things,
Yeah.
because I'm not like, I think sometimes people think, oh, if you're distracting yourself with all these things that aren't as good, that means you're not gonna be able to produce as many really great things. And I'm like, for me at least, I feel like quality comes with quantity. Like the more I'm writing, the more I'll produce some of the really great stuff. And if I just scale it back because I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to produce things that are just decent, I'm not going to get to nearly as many great ideas and great contributions that can help people, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, hands down. It's kind of like when people go to the dentist every 6 months or a year. It's not like you don't brush your teeth twice a day leading up to that 6 month marker, right? Because if we didn't brush our teeth every single day, twice a day to that 6 month marker, we're going to have a really hard time showing up at that dentist. It's going to be painful. We're going to have to come back for some cavities, right? We can't expect to just like pop out and birth this like gorgeous, amazing article, book, painting without the practice.
Yeah.
And so, as a practice for me, for example, April is National Poetry Month. And so I signed myself up for it was $85 course. So I have some skin in the game, right? For $85, I'm supposed to write 30 poems in 30 days. Am I a great poet? No, not at all. But I enjoy it, and poems only need to be like this long, so it's a way to practice. And so I'm same thing, I'm getting myself into the habit of practicing. There may be a gem in there, but I'm not counting on it. I'm just practicing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've already referred to it, but let's talk a little bit more specifically about this inner platform component. Can you say a little bit more about that and why that's foundational, as people are trying to transform their mindsets and clear their vision?
Sure. So oftentimes when people think, well, I want to be a thought leader. I need to build my executive presence. I want to build a personal brand so I become, known in this, that, the other thing. They're already thinking about their outer platform. How do I look? How do I sound? Who's going to notice me? What job am I going to get? But what's actually missing? Okay. So then when people show up in that way, they're vanilla. They're boring and we can see straight through it. Or we notice like something's off with this person, right? And then we all know those people. So instead, if we look at your inner platform first, like that's got to be straight. So as a transformational leadership coach, there's a formula to transformational leadership, but I have actually updated it and applied the creative process to it. So now, I was talking about inner trust, right? You got to
Yeah.
trust yourself and your decisions. And when you trust yourself, then you become somebody on the outer platform who is trustworthy. When in your inner platform, you're working on your mindset and your self-awareness, that most high, vibrant, self. When you're self-aware of what you're saying and you can read a room, then you bring in creativity, authenticity, your voice, and your message. Then there's two other pieces to this inner platform. The third piece is your expanded energy. So this really comes down to rituals and habits. Everybody loves talking about habits. I think it's really boring. Like, I don't need another habit, right? Like, but call it a ritual and it sounds a lot more fun. So adding rituals to expand your personal energy is going to inspire you, right? I have clients who, again, work in the creative industry. One creative director tells me he gets his best ideas when he's in the sauna. And they make million-dollar decisions for million-dollar franchises. And my guess is that his boss is going to say, cool, go spend some time in a sauna, not up here on the 10th floor, right?
Yeah.
So finding ways to expand your energy is then going to allow you to clearly communicate who you are, your transformational leadership, how you want to show up, how your best ideas come to life. And then finally, that last piece is your clear vision, right? And clear vision is an acronym that you can go step by step in the book and actually download these worksheets on my website as well to take you through to find your clear vision. When you find your clear vision and you are so locked into that moment, you can clarify that, you can speak to it, you really own it, then you can move from your outer platform to, I'm sorry, your inner platform to your outer platform. And that's where the visionary shows up. Because you are so locked down, solid, you've already done all the inner work. That's when you can launch with ease. Yeah.
Yeah, launching with ease, not because it's easy, but because you have the confidence, you have the inner confidence, and because you have the alignment, and because you believe in what you're doing. I think that's an important distinction. Like nobody's suggesting that anything we're talking about is easy. It takes work. That's why people like you coach and support people in doing this work, because it's hard. Like if it wasn't hard, everyone could do it no problem, but it is. And lots of people have imposter syndrome, self-doubt, constant second guessing themselves. That inner work that you're talking about is really, really essential. And it's hard to, I suspect even that perhaps there's a gendered component to this, because I think, for example, like kind of the difference in mindset between me and my wife, and some of it's personality, I'm sure, but probably some of it's just the fact that I'm a straight cisgender white dude who has like all these layers of privilege, and she is not, and she's a woman. And so, some of the things that she will sit on sometimes, I think may come from kind of that gendered experience that she's had in the world that I haven't had, where I'm kind of like, whatever, I'll throw it out there, see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you've experienced that either, with kind of this gendered component, or maybe that's an overstatement. I don't know.
Yeah, no. It's definitely something to look at, especially as it applies to creativity, for example. So in the book, there's an entire chapter about masculine and feminine energy, whether you define yourself as a man or a woman or somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Masculine energy has us wanting to do it right, to get it done, to be on time, right? To have it on track, have a solution, all of these things. That's where we kind of have this go mentality versus feminine energy, which is the creativity, the ease, the flow, the going into the sauna for an hour, right? So we can, I really think that a transformational leader is when we blend both sides
I like that.
equally. And I actually find a lot of the men I coach have more feminine energy, and more of the women I coach have masculine energy. Which makes because as women, we have to show up in a way that is, quote unquote, right? And apply ourselves to a world, a corporate world that was really built not necessarily for women, but in a way that is go, 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 get it done, let's be on time, that masculine energy. There's no right and wrong with it, but I think that we are working on finding the blend.
Yeah, I like that focus on the blend. I think in most areas of life, blending, finding integration, is powerful. And I like the way you just described that. Well, Lisa, I know the time. I need to let you go here in just a minute. But before we wrap things up for today, I wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, where they can find your book, and then give us a final word on the topic for today.
Yeah, so the book Find Your Clear Vision, we've got this on Amazon. You can also find it on my website at bebrightlisa.com. I'm on Instagram, bebrightlisa, LinkedIn, Lisa Guillot, Guillot, like the guillotine, but without the teen. Yeah, and I'd love to hear from you. Like I said, I've also got these worksheets for the Clear Vision framework up on the website as well. You're welcome to download those for free. Let's see, one last word. Everybody, all my clients often ask me, or they'll start the conversation with, I just don't have enough time. I need more time. Like we're going to put time in our pocket and save it for later. And I would offer, if that is something that comes up for you as a stopping point, I want you to notice where you're spinning. We were talking about that paradox pattern and you're second guessing. How much time are you spending second guessing your vision? That's time that you can use to expand your energy and laser focus and press publish, press post. Make that call, send that email. I really want to encourage you to take action, even if it's not perfect.
I love it. Lisa, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Lisa can do for you. Check out the book. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe. They can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.